Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 71 of K-Drama Convos. So this is the very first episode of 2023.
And this is no ordinary episode.
No, it's no ordinary episode. So today, we are doing our very first K-Drama Convos Awards. So this is we started our podcast in, was it like March or something of 2021. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this was the first calendar year, like January to December, that we've actually had our podcast. And with that, we've also, I've also kept track very detailed of every drama we've watched this year, which pretty much all of them we made a podcast about. I don't think there are any that we're mentioning that we didn't do a podcast episode on, actually.
Right.
As far as I can remember.
Yeah.
One note, though, is that for... you might be able to hear it. We're borrowing my brother's laptop for you to look at. I always have my own laptop. Mm-hmm. You don't usually have one. Its fan is, like, super loud.
It runs constantly.
Yeah, I don't know why, but just noting that if you hear in the background, that's what you're hearing. Sorry about that, because we couldn't get it to stop. So, we thought it'd be kind of fun to not just have awards, but also to talk a bit about some of, like, how many dramas we watched this year, and that kind of, basically, like, statistics of what we watched and, like, that kind of thing. Also with some podcasting stuff too. Okay, so I'm gonna start talking about the some of the podcast statistics. So this year we uploaded 45 episodes.
Woo-hoo.
I know, right? And one of those was a special episode that wasn't numbered, because I originally had the numbers 44.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that's episode 26 through episode 70. Plus, we had an episode about the one-off concert, that was,
right,
like a special episode. And so there are about 7 weeks that we didn't upload, because there's 52 weeks in the year.
Good math, Annika.
Wow, so difficult. Oh my gosh. So the first episode this year was episode 26, which was the birthday special music videos, which was your birthday special.
Yeah.
That was the first one, because your birthday is the third.
Mm.
And then the last episode this year was episode 70, which was Mismatched. So that was kind of a crappy episode.
Yes.
Finish the year off, right?
Yeah.
But I think it was still a good episode. It just, it wasn't very positive,
right,
you know? So, this was an interesting one. We uploaded a total of 3,189 minutes of content, which is 53.15 hours. That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of talking. You're right. That's a lot of talking. I don't know. It's weird thinking there's, like, that many hours of content of just our voices.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird to think about. So, the shortest episode from this year was episode 31, Can't Run Away From Love, which was 46 minutes and 14 seconds, which is not that short. That really, it's only just under an hour.
Right.
And our longest episode was episode 69, My Love From the Star, which was an hour and 34 minutes.
Really?
Which is, what, like 45 minutes longer than our shortest one,
yeah,
which is interesting. It was funny. It was actually going to be Happiness. I don't remember what number that one was. But then when we recorded My Love From the Star.
Really not Red Sleeve.
No. I'm not there yet.
Oh, you're not
don't
there
worry.
Yet. Okay.
Happiness was like just a few minutes less than My Love From the Star.
Well, you
so.
Can tell we like to talk. When we like something, we can talk about it a lot.
Oh, for
more.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So our longest recording from this year was 2 hours and 51 minutes. And that is, by the way, that's before I trimmed anything. And that was split into part 3 and part 4, which was the final part of Red Sleeve. I think I lost my voice that day.
Yeah,
you like, got my all voice, scratchy. My voice legitimately hurt.
I mean, I think, you know, the show was so good and we had so much to say about it. And that was
obvious with how
that,
much.
But that, I think that podcast was towards the beginning of the year. Before I think it was. We really got into how to streamline.
Well, it's not streamline. We're not good at streamlining.
About. Yeah, because we talked a lot about specifics.
Oh, during, we were way too specific. You know,
what
specific.
Happened in what episode and, oh, and stuff for sure. Like that.
Where is it? I'm trying to find it.
We got much better at talking in the general rather than in the episode specific.
So, the final part of Red Sleeve was episode 35. That was back in March. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It was something that... And then our first impressions was episode 29, which is in very end of January.
I mean, if
so,
you
yeah.
love the Red Sleeve,
I still
and
don't
you
know.
Love hearing about it and talking about
I
it.
I still don't know if I'd recommend listening to that
it's
episode.
It's just so long. Yeah.
So for the Red Sleeve, we had a total of 4 parts, including a first impression and then 3 more parts. And
honestly, if I were to say what to listen to, I'd say listen to the first impressions.
Yeah.
And listen to the final one.
No, the final one, if you don't have the context, it might be a little weird. Because the
context of what we say?
Yeah, because of how the final one, the final part was structured, it was kind of, I think I was able to break it up pretty well, but it was actually a continuous conversation.
That's true. Yeah, we literally sat and talked for...
Almost 3 hours.
3 hours.
That, yeah. And so that totaled up to 5.18 hours of content just
for
on Red Sleeve.
Drama.
Which I think it's like 17 hours or something.
The drama itself.
Mm. Yeah, here, wait. But I can actually give you the exact hour of how long it is. Which, I mean, is quite a lot for one drama. Okay, here we go. Okay, it's actually...
That's a third of the drama
itself,
though.
No. It's 20 out, just over... It's more than 20 hours.
Oh, so that's a fourth
of the drama. It's a fourth. Still, a fourth of the drama we spent that time talking about. Right. We decided to never do that again. Yeah. We'll do a two-parter. No four-part, like, saga over here.
Saga. That's
wait,
a good
what's,
word.
What's, is saga... Do you have to have more than 3? What counts as a saga?
I don't know.
Like, because you always think of it as, like, you know, like, wait, what do you call, like, a saga? Like, the Star Wars... No one calls Star Wars a saga. What's a saga?
I mean...
Okay, and then the last thing I have here for our podcast, our...
A saga.
Oh, what was it?
A long story of heroic achievement. A long-involved story, account, or series of incidents. So
ours is definitely a long account of incidents.
It's a long account. It's not.
Oh, I thought it was a multiple. It had to be like multiple.
Star Wars would be a saga.
It would be a saga.
Heroic
okay.
achievement. Yeah.
Why heroic specifically? That's weird. Okay. I don't know. Who knows? So the most listened to episode this year was episode 57, which was Extraordinary Attorney Wu, which I'm not surprised at. It's because I don't think we put it up right when it had finished airing, like we did
but
with Hometown. But it was when the show was still very relevant.
Yes.
We're not good at that. We like talking about very random shows.
Yeah, we'll watch a show from, like, you know, 5 years ago.
Exactly.
And enjoy it and talk about it. And people were like, that's an old show.
Yeah.
But old shows can be really
good. They can be
really
very good.
Good.
Oh, for sure. And I think one thing, it was interesting, I think, this year to, like, watch. I mean, it was a slow process, us get a little bit better at talking about shows. It took time, a lot of time. And when I look back at some of our first episodes, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so bad.
We had no idea what we were doing.
We didn't. And
we were just talking.
Exactly. And we didn't know what
we were
doing.
Basically what we used to do when we were riding in the car
yeah.
or sitting at the table. We just
Yes, which there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and I think
there's no organization.
Yeah, and I think some people even like a very rambly thing. Mm. But I feel like with sometimes it can be so rambly, it's hard to follow. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised with some because, like, you know, we had a hard time at the very beginning not going episode by episode, scene by scene, like that kind of thing.
Well, because that's how we used to talk about
it. Yeah, we used to kind of talk about it like that. And also because we take notes. We always take notes mm-hmm. on dramas. And we were really bad at, we would, like, read what our note says. It's not...
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we use our notes in a very different way. We just reference them mm-hmm. for, usually it's timeline yeah. stuff. Like, yeah. remember which what thing happens when. And then now I'll do a completely separate, bullet points of mm-hmm. things we want to talk about and stuff like that. I mean, I think
we look beyond just the incidents that happen in the show now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think we're much better with that kind of thing, mm-hmm. for sure. So, now, I should have said that right at the beginning. I totally forgot. This episode is going to be basically a slideshow, and we thought that would be partly easier to follow, because mm-hmm. We're going to be throwing out a lot of names, a lot of numbers, this and that,
yeah.
and I'm making a slideshow for it. Oh, yeah, this probably won't go up the first. If it doesn't, I'm sorry. I ran out of time.
She was too busy making Christmas cookies.
Yeah, and I have work, so... but that... The slideshow/video should be available, if I can get to work, on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. But if you are listening on Apple and it's not there, just go to YouTube, yeah. I'd say. I think this episode, we talked about, doing it without a visual of any sort, and we just thought that it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So that's why
there are just too many names.
Too many names. And we're bad at names.
If you haven't seen the drama.
Yes.
It mm-hmm. would be really confusing.
Yeah. So we have, pictures with the actors, this and that. So, now I'm going to talk about some of the statistics of the dramas that we watch. So, currently... You will be seeing a list of all of the dramas we watched this year. And this is in chronological order. Mm-hmm. And it's also color-coded by language.
That's what we like to do around here.
We like to color-code.
Color-code things.
I like color-coding.
All of my children have an assigned color.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when I write stuff on the calendar, it's in mm-hmm. their color. So you know that's what happens when you have...
Seven kids. That's what happens. Yeah. So I'd say pause and read through that. So you kind of know a general of what some of this stuff.
And that's the list
that we pulled
these
from.
Awards mm-hmm. are going to be from, not just general 2022
no.
dramas.
Yeah. So these awards are specific to the dramas that we personally mm-hmm. watch this year, which that is this list, which it is 38.
Like, if you have a favorite drama from 2022 and it didn't make it into the awards,
we didn't watch it. Yeah. 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 There are 38 dramas that we watched mm-hmm. this year, which isn't a terrible, it's not a lot, but it's not a little either. It's,
right.
It's interesting.
More than two a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, next thing. We're not going to move on to our pie charts, my pie charts here that I made. So, with languages, this was an interesting one. I thought we watched more Chinese this year. We did not. So, we watched 21 shows that were in Korean, 8 that were in Japanese, 4 that were Chinese, and 4 that are other. The others include Hindi, Taiwanese?
Mm, yeah.
And what's the other one? What was Filipino?
Uh-huh.
So those were the others are. Right. I didn't, it was kind of pointless to make one for each
of
those.
And that was because of the challenge.
Yes, that was because of our drama challenge. And it's one of those things where I had, I think, almost all of those languages of other. I had never seen mm-hmm. anything in, or if I had, it might have been, one thing.
I think that was a positive thing about our
challenge.
Yeah,
for sure.
It broke us out of just Korean and Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And we could explore other.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting to, And mind you, we only saw one drama that was in this other language, but it was interesting seeing stuff that was very different than what we usually watch.
You got to see another culture being represented, which was cool.
Definitely. Okay, so for the years are all the dramas that we watched, what year they were originally released. Mm-hmm. I'll just list the first few out loud. So 2022, ones that were released this, I guess technically past year because it's 23 now, we watched 10, which is way more than we'd usually watch.
That's pretty impressive, considering there was 12 months out of the year, we watched 10 new ones.
Yeah, we don't, we used to not watch any airing shows or new shows, like, at all.
We don't like to wait.
No, we don't like to wait. I like when it's done. I like to watch at my own pace, you know? For 2021, there were 13. I wasn't surprised at. I thought there was going to be more from 21, for sure. And then 2020, there was 7. And then all the other ones are very small numbers. Right. And the only year that we missed was 2016, which is really funny because 2016 was a really big year for dramas. It had a lot of big names came out in 2016, actually. I think, like, Goblin, Descent of the Sun, a whole...
It's not that we haven't seen
them. Yeah, no, we've seen them. Just we've seen a lot of big name ones from that year. Right. So for our star ratings, this is something that's very new. This year, we were actually able to keep track of that. So I have two different slides for this. This first one is the percentages. So our biggest percentage was our 4-star rating, which is at 39.5% of all the shows we watched were 4-star, which I think for us, we consider a safe, not middle ground, but like this drama was good.
This was good. This is something we would recommend.
Yeah, it is a 4-star. I will recommend it to somebody.
Yeah.
Anything under that, I guess, it would
depend on who the person was.
Oh, for
whether
sure.
you recommend it or not. Yeah.
And then for 4.5, we only had 10.5% of our dramas was that. And for 5-star, we had 15.8%. So it's interesting. The 4-star was way more than
We got stingy because we decided, you only deserve a 5-star if it's excellent.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then I also have this, this next slide here that has for each star rating, the number of individual dramas that we actually gave it to. So with 4 stars, we gave it to 15 dramas. That's a lot of dramas, but we only watched 38.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. Mm-hmm.
It's almost half.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, it's 39.5%. Like, that's a lot. So this was an interesting one. Shows that we rewatched. As you can tell, I don't rewatch shows. The only show that I rewatched this year was... No, that was the... That I had seen before you did was Would You Like a Cup of Coffee? Because I'd seen it earlier in the year and then rewatched it.
I think partly that's because it was just a nice short one.
It was nice and short, too, yeah. So both of us rewatched In-House Marriage, Honey, which we opened the year with. I think we watched it... What?
Wasn't that the third time we'd watched it?
Nah, you're...
It was the third time I had seen it,
I think it was your third time. It was my second, I think. Okay. That show was like...
It's not that fantastic a show, but...
But it was so lighthearted.
Exactly. That's why, you know, it's an easy, cute watch, and it's short. Yeah.
Exactly. And then we also, both of us, rewatched My Roommate is a Gumiho and My Love from the Star, which those were our two birthday specials.
Right.
That we purposely rewatched.
Purposely rewatched.
So, ones that only you had rewatched were Hymn of Death, You're My Destiny, Can I Step In, Isapau with Feelings, Alice in Borderland, and Season 1 of Mismatched.
See, and that's a lot. And several of those I had watched.
Yeah, you didn't...
Way...
You did not...
Like, You're My Destiny. I didn't even really remember that
show.
Yeah,
you didn't see them twice this year.
No.
But you had just rewatched them you'd see them at some other point and watch them again this year.
Right, right.
That's, like, a lot. And most of them are pretty short, though.
Yeah.
The only longer one, honestly, I think is Alice in Borderland and then maybe You're My Destiny, which is a terrible show. Don't watch it.
Alice in Borderland, I actually watched 3 times.
No,
I watched it myself.
You didn't watch all the way through.
Daddy and...
No, you watched, like, 3 episodes with them.
Oh. I tried.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. I think it was a timing thing.
Schedule thing.
Yeah, and then you rewatched it with me as well. Which was interesting watching that show where you had obviously already seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the amount of dramas we watched this year was a total of 38, which averages out to 3.16 a month, which seems about right. I mean, I think we would usually say we take around 2 weeks to finish a drama. So some of these are longer, some of these are shorter, and also this includes movies. I think I included
which
movies.
Which makes it possible to watch more than 2 a month.
So we had 25 that I'm going to call full length that were 5+ hours. 8 that were shorter, which meant they were 2 to 4 hours, and 5 movies, which we did watch more movies this year, but 5 Asian movies? Does that sound weird? Like, we watch, like, American movies a few here and there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're not big movie people. We just aren't. I don't know.
Well, I think part of the reason we're not big movie people is it's hard to pick a movie that everybody in this house will watch.
It's literally impossible.
Can and will watch
it's,
together.
It's impossible.
You can't. How can you pick a movie that your 25-year-old... Your 12-year-old
it's impossible.
Can both watch and enjoy.
It doesn't work.
Star Wars. That's it.
We've watched that so many times. Yeah. You know? Okay, so time watched. We watched a total of 337.95 hours.
Wow.
It's a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. Which is an average of 28.16 hours a month. Which was kind of funny because I expected it to be at least an hour a day or more.
Mm-hmm.
But actually wasn't. I think that shows that we do go days that we don't watch anything.
Right.
But when we do watch, we typically watch 2 in a row.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we usually watch 2 hours at a time, at a sitting.
A sitting. Yeah. Uh-huh. But there are plenty of days that we just didn't watch anything.
Right.
Because
life takes over.
Life is busy, you know? Yeah. So show lengths. The longest drama we watched this year, which we watched very recently, was My Love from the Star, which was 21 hours. But in second place is The Red Sleeve, which is 20.8 hours. So they're very close in time. And then the shortest dramas, which is actually 2 of them, is Can I Step In, which was 2 hours.
So cute.
And To Jenny, that was also 2 hours. Mm-hmm. They are basically movies.
Right.
I thought that Red Sleeve was going to be My Love from the Star, but apparently it did not. So... and then the final thing before we get into the awards is we wanted to mention our year-long challenge that we did this year. So this was interesting. So what we did is there are 12 months of the year. We broke it in half. So we had 2 different lists and 6 things on each list. One list had 6 K-dramas with 6 different genres. Other list had 6 different languages and a drama for each of those languages. Or I guess we said regions because technically 2 were in Mandarin. So we said regions.
Right.
And you can obviously run you guys will be able to see.
You'll see the slide.
You'll see you'll see on screen what 12 dramas we end up watching. It was interesting.
We picked all 12 of these at the very beginning of the year. Honestly, I think if we hadn't picked them and decided on them, I might have changed some
I think
of the
we
things
definitely
that
would've.
We watched later on.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, one got changed, like, on us.
Yeah.
Which we were, for the mystery, crime/mystery, we were supposed to watch Queen of Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having to watch Teen Bulldog, which was a good show.
It was a good show.
But it became unavailable on Viki.
Yeah, that was sad.
Mm-hmm. But this challenge definitely took us out of our, like, comfort zone, I guess you could say. Like, I think especially when we first started watching dramas, We watched a lot of rom-coms, a lot of very similar dramas. And I would say it's in the past, like, 2 years that we've actually started to branch out more. Mm-hmm. And I think this this challenge, like, introduced even some more, like, genres and stuff that were like, oh, we actually, like, are interested in trying more.
Right, right.
Of that kind of thing. It was fun. I don't think we're going to do it again this year. I don't think so.
What was the most surprising to you, that genre that you
genre enjoyed? Specifically that I enjoyed that I like that I didn't think I was going to enjoy.
You didn't think you were going to enjoy.
I'm not sure actually. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, okay. Okay.
List
probably.
Obviously, you like rom-com.
I think Silent Sea.
So sci-fi. You're surprised about?
Okay, genres as in just the Korean ones? Yeah. Okay, just the Korean ones?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Happiness.
So thriller.
I don't like thrillers, usually. Mm. But Happiness probably surprised me the most. Mm-hmm. Because usually we kind of avoid that. Especially because it wasn't quite a zombie thing, but they were sort of kind of like zombies. We typically would avoid watching stuff like that, usually. But I think I ended up liking that show a lot more than mm-hmm. I thought I would. And then also, like, Alice in Borderland, which is also a thriller. I did not think I would like it as much as I did. I think that was definitely the most surprising one that I was like, you know, it sounds good, it has an actor I like, you know, it had potential, but I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did, mm-hmm. for sure. So, now on to the award ceremony here. And like we said, these are the dramas that we watched this year, so honestly, majority of them are not from 2022, so
right.
Just noting. So, you're going to start us off.
Okay, go ahead. We're not going to do, like, the nominees are, we don't have nominees. And all that. We are just gonna, you know,
tell you who won. Exactly.
Because there was, for some of these, there was much deliberation,
mm-hmm.
and some of these, there's like, there's no context.
Exactly, you know? Yeah, so.
Because when you only watch, for instance, you know, like, one thriller, or one sci-fi, or,
exactly. you know, or maybe two or three.
Or two or three, you know, you only have two or three to choose from.
Exactly.
So, anyway. Go ahead. So, for the best rom-com, Business Proposal.
Which shouldn't be surprising to anybody.
Which shouldn't be surprising, you know, if you look at our list.
Mm-hmm.
But this show was, I don't know, I love the characters mm-hmm. in this show. And their relationship was, you know, it had its ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching a compilation of their stuff, and I realized that their relationship had all... It was funny. It was cute.
Mm.
It had serious moments, like mm-hmm. with his trauma. It had the whole contractual thing. It had, like, his perspective and it had her perspective.
True,
there were so much
to it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
For sure. And also, other than their relationship, I'd say was what, you know, obviously carried a lot of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But also a lot of the other parts of it. Like, I found this show genuinely funny.
Yes.
It was very over the top. It did not take itself serious at all.
It was based on a web...
Was it?
Drama.
Was it?
Well, because I was reading...
A webtoon.
I was reading the webtoon.
Oh, yeah, you were.
When it first came out.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah. But it was one of those things where we've had a love-hate relationship with Korean comedies. This is a rom-com. Yeah. Slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there were moments that it was a little over the top. But I would say, generally speaking, it was genuinely funny.
But it had there was no outrageous, over-the-top character.
That were, like, annoying, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah, which is what turns us
off. And I think the interesting thing with this show is that we personally, even though I know a lot of people loved them, we didn't really like the secondary couple.
No.
It's funny. We mentioned this in our episode about it. We definitely liked them as individual characters,
mm-hmm.
but them as a couple just didn't feel healthy.
Didn't feel healthy. And in contrast to the main characters, who, even though their relationship started out as a contractual one.
Yeah, weird start, you know.
It was a relatively healthy
progression. Oh, for sure, yeah. And that's something that, you know, even though we didn't really like the secondary, the rest of the show was so good that, you know, it still won.
So it goes to show, you can really like a show, but it still has some elements.
It can have some flaws. That's okay. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, our best historical is The Red Sleeve, mm-hmm. which also should not be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah.
So this was the one that made, like, 50 parts on, Tom, like we said earlier. So this show was just amazing, like, quality of this mm-hmm. show. I don't want to know what the budget was. Oh, my gosh. Like, the cinematography and the music
and
the costumes were amazing. And there was a extremely intricate storyline and characters. It was based off of
a real person.
No, hold on, yes. But it was based off of the novels mm-hmm. that were based off real people.
Right, right.
And so they had, I'm pretty sure they had a lot to work off of, because it's actually a two-part series. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they did both books or not. I have no idea. But it was something that there was part of the reason we ended up making so many parts on this show. There was so much to, like, dig up mm-hmm. about these characters and about, like, every single interaction was so important to the story and how
it... Which is why we wound up talking about specifics so
exactly,
much.
Which, you know, in some ways...
You can't leave this out, it's so important. Oh, but you can't leave this out,
and
so
that's,
important.
Like, every scene, you know?
Yeah.
And also one thing, this is very specific to historicals, this show did not have too many politics. And the politics that it did have in it, I think I could understand mm-hmm. to a certain extent.
That's one of the things with historical that you find difficult.
You do, too.
The amount of sure, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's not just difficult. Like, sometimes the politics can legit be difficult to understand, like, what is even happening.
And granted, it always plays a role in the
it
lives
does,
of people.
For sure, which in the, you know, the royalty, it's a big part of it. But also, a lot of the time, it's just boring. Like, I don't want to sit there and watch that, like, you know, for so long. It can get boring. But this show did a good job of having it in there because mm-hmm. it made sense for the main characters.
Right.
But they didn't overdo it, mm-hmm. in my opinion. It was just genuinely a great show overall. Mm-hmm. It was impressive, I'd say.
Did you want to say anything about the ending?
I want you to say
disagreement about the ending.
So, the ending was very different. Different than what you'd usually see in a drama. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's partly because it is based off of real people. You did not really like the ending. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it. It wasn't my favorite. It was very unexpected. But I just was like, oh, okay, that's the ending. You kind of disliked it.
I disliked how she ended things.
Don't spoil anything, please,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, the last scene, I liked how they kind of
wrapped
that
up. I did
kind
of like how they did that.
But I just felt like her character made wrong decisions.
Yeah.
And it sort of made this beautiful love story wilt
have a
the
weird
end
I
yes.
guess you could say, yeah.
Yeah,
which is funny because we all of these awards we like mutually picked which show
mm-hmm.
Partly we didn't watch a lot of historicals this year, but any of the ones we did just couldn't compare
right
to this, even though the ending was very different
mm-hmm.
and you personally didn't like it as much mm-hmm. It still totally won for sure. Okay
So,
switching back and forth here.
Go, I forget. The funniest comedy goes to Racket Boys. We just thoroughly enjoyed this innocent comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the jokes were just... you had different people joking. You had the teenager,
like generation
back and forth generation, yeah. And mm-hmm. then you had the parents' generation, the jokes between them and the kids,
and then them and between then the themselves.
Older people, oh, and there was just
it was so, and a lot of it was very natural.
Yes, there weren't like
one-liners. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, there yeah. were like the jokes like you'd hear around this house.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know, just mm-hmm. naturally come up in conversation where you poke at the other person. Or
exactly
or
that kind of thing. And another thing was the modern references in this drama were yes. hysterical to watch. And I'd say most people, you don't have to be. You have to know K-pop a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know.
And a little K-drama.
They didn't really reference. They referenced more K-pop than anything.
Mostly K-pop.
Mostly K-pop. Yeah. But it was just so much fun when you, like, understood the reference. And we got all of them, as far yeah. as we're aware. Yeah. And it was just so lighthearted. It was just so enjoyable. It really, really
it
was.
It really was. I would recommend this to
anybody. And this is one of those shows that I had on my watch list for a long time. Just never got around to it. And I'm so glad that it was part of our challenge.
And what was really funny is I wasn't looking forward you to it as much as you. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, it's time to watch this show.
And then you really liked it.
I really enjoyed
it. Exactly. So it can be one of those things where you never know what you're going to like.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so for best thriller, it is Alice in Borderland. So, okay, season one, to be specific.
Season one, right.
We started season two last night. We only got two episodes in, so we're not going to talk about that right now. But season one, the overall premise of mm-hmm. this show is obviously very interesting, and it set itself up for an interesting story.
Yes.
It's also based off manga as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you in particular liked the male lead.
I did. I felt like he had to dig deep in himself to figure out who he was. Mm. You know, his life looked like he was a slacker and he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in the game, I mean, he used all the skills that uh-huh. he had gained being a slacker, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to not just survive, but to help other people survive.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like throughout the whole game, he kept his humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was even more ingrained in him to think of other people mm-hmm. as a result.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing that I found really interesting, mind you, with this, it was a little different because you'd seen it before and I hadn't when we watched mm-hmm. it, was when they were playing the games, I personally was trying to figure out the solution a lot of time, like, mm-hmm. while they were playing it. And it really kept you guessing.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those things where I pretty much never, like, 100% knew what was going to happen and that sort of thing. And I think that's something that you have to, you know, it's a good show when it can keep you guessing yeah. like that, for sure. It's with this specific genre.
Yeah, and we, as like, well. As a family, we like to play, like, puzzle games.
Mm. Oh, like Myst?
Like
and
Myst.
Oh, that's
yeah, but,
been a long
but
time.
But some of those games
reminded
me of that. Like, the first game where they had to escape the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Arisu had to use his logical thinking skills
yeah.
to mm-hmm. solve it. And it wasn't just a point-and-shoot game.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. And one thing that's also kind of funny with this one is that the female lead, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, personally, especially you, mm-hmm. did not like her anywhere as much as we did
any
Arisu.
Of the other characters.
Especially Arisu.
Right.
It's one of those tricky things because we're talking to my dad about it because he'd seen the first few episodes, and I completely agree with him that her character, I think, is supposed to be this kind of stiff, no-nonsense, doesn't want to show emotion type of character.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you thought she was stiff.
Yeah.
But I think in some ways her character is supposed to be stiff, but it sometimes comes across that her acting is stiff.
Yeah.
Which
I've seen actors portray the the closed off, stiff CEO type thing, but still feel like a real person. She felt like a manga drawing.
To you.
To me.
A lot, yeah. Yeah. I would say I agree that she felt very stiff, and I think it was partly because she was next to Arisu. It was yes, a little tricky there.
Yeah, it was hard. The contrast, he's such an amazing actor.
Yeah, the contrast was even more. And I don't think it's the actress in this one. I think it might just be more the character. That's just kind of what the character was supposed to be, but it felt...
It could have been the writing.
It could have been the writing. It could have been the character. It could have been the directing. Like, I don't know what it was, but it just... I can't connect with hers more.
But you know? That didn't take away
from
the story at
all. No, and I think that's something that's, like we said earlier, it's you can still like a show and have stuff that you dislike about it.
There are very few shows that I like 100%.
Yeah. A lot of them are like a 99, you know, that 1%. Yeah. You're like, you know, yeah.
Okay, so for best sci-fi was Reset. Now, I totally love this.
Okay, so this, I realize we're not mentioning what the heck these shows were about.
Oh,
if you
sorry.
Haven't seen these.
Yeah.
Okay, Reset is a Chinese show, and it's about a time loop.
Time loop.
There you go, that's what it's about.
Yeah, so I love time travel.
Oh, you love sci-fi, everything.
Yeah, I love sci-fi. I watched Doctor Who, you know, the whole time travel thing. So this time loop... And it was interesting. I wondered how they were going to pull it off. So it's a time loop, and it repeats the same, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's very
over
little.
And over and over. How in the world are they going to make
it
that interesting?
It sounds boring from
it sounds
the
like
outside,
it could be boring,
for sure.
But they changed it every single time.
Just the teeniest
a little
bit.
And made it fascinating.
They did.
And you felt like you were right there with them. Oh, they tried that. Now what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. And trying to figure out how could these characters solve this time loop?
And I think it's one of those that we kind of tried to solve it along with them. We would start coming up with theories or ideas and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the two leads, their acting was good in this one. And it was interesting because they really... portrayed a lot of different emotions across the span of this show, and it was really interesting to see like how they would react to certain situations and this and that, and I think they managed to keep them very consistent too. Mm-hmm. But just the whole premise itself was just it just in general was very interesting,
and I liked how it started. It didn't like have this slow intro.
Bam. Like, right away.
Dropped it
I think,
in.
Yeah,
she,
you did.
She didn't know what was happening.
No, yeah. I think
she had to figure that out, too.
Exactly, yeah. It was so interesting how they would introduce stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Such a good show.
Yeah,
highly
good show.
Recommend that.
Yeah.
I think it's on Viki. I think that's where we watched it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think
probably.
So.
Okay, so best miniseries is To Jenny. So this year we actually did watch a few more miniseries than we had been.
Yeah, we did.
Which I think you would watch more than I would. Sometimes you'd watch them on your own, too.
That's because they're, you know, quick and easy.
Yeah, so To Jenny, if you haven't seen it, it's a very simple story. It's a guy who, he really likes music. He likes to write his own music. And a girl who's wanting to be, like, an idol, basically, like K-pop idol. Mm. They knew each other in high school, and they meet... There you go. That's about all it is. I'm terrible at descriptions, but there you go. That's my best.
It's hard to summarize something without giving things away.
Yeah, and this one is only 2 hours long, so I don't want to give any spoilers
right,
or anything.
Yeah.
So, this show is very cute, very innocent, it's quite simple, and I think that worked in its favor for it only being 2 hours long.
Yeah,
they didn't overcomplicate things or bring tons of drama into it.
But they made you really, really like the characters really quickly.
For sure, which is impressive. Mm-hmm. It has really fun music. I actually found out that all the music, all but one of the songs are actually covers from, like, actual songs. And it was fun, and how they incorporated these already written songs, but they used them as if he'd written them.
Well, they felt like they were written for the show.
They fit in the story so well.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the male lead, his acting, it was the first thing we'd ever seen him in. We're like, where'd he come from? Like, what the heck?
How did we miss him?
For sure. He stole the show. Yeah. Like, he was just so amazing. Mm-hmm. It was so impressive, you know?
And, well, his little sister almost stole the show.
Oh, my gosh. His little sister was so cute. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay. So, we have an award for BFFs. Mm. So, this one...
We make our own rules here.
We make our own rules. So this one we gave to two different shows. So 39 and Racket Boys. Mm-hmm. And that was because the best friends in 39 are, you know, adults.
They're 39.
And the best friends in Racket Boys are...
All teens.
All teens. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't give...
And none, no one, like, their relationships in Racket Boys, I don't think were any better than their relationships in 39.
Right.
You know, right. So I couldn't give a winner.
But like, I can imagine that the boys and girls in Racket Boys one day will be like the know. People in 39.
I know, you know, right?
That relationship that you form when you're young that mm-hmm. sticks with you.
Yeah, for sure.
But we've really enjoyed the both kinds of relationships.
Oh, yeah.
How they, you know, how you interact as an adult is different from mm-hmm. how you interact yeah. as a teen.
And it was fun.
But an adult and a teen watching the shows together, we could relate to both of them.
Yeah, and that was really interesting. Like, it's kind of funny because I'm 17. So, you know, obviously, you'd think you should be able to relate more like, oh, young teens. But like, I could also somewhat relate to these people who are almost 40, which mm-hmm. is so, you know, it's a lot older than I am. And, you know, and the contrast between you can do a best friend story out of high school, you know?
Right.
You're like, oh, right. We're best friends. Like, that happen, like, your whole life you can have best friends that are like that.
Right.
It was kind of funny after watching both of them, like, the contrast between the two, mm-hmm. like, one's a comedy, and one's a very serious show, but they mm-hmm. both have such a solid friendship. It was just great.
It's like friendship goals right there.
Oh my gosh, yeah, yes, yeah. And watch both of them. They're so enjoyable. Yeah. Okay, so, best non-romantic duo is Park Jung-woo, who played Min Dae-jin, and Cha Tae-hyun, who played Jin Kang-ho in Team Bulldog, or full thing is Team Bulldog Off-Duty Investigation. So one of them was a detective, and the other one was his assistant. It's a mystery crime show. And these two are hilarious. Just so, so funny. Oh my gosh. And they had this constant back and forth between the two. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It wasn't, like, nasty it or wasn't. Anything. It was just, like, they...
The senior picked on the junior.
Yeah. And
but in a fun way.
Yes, in a very nice way. And also the detective, he had a nickname.
Oh, that was the best.
The junior, he called him Amata, which is him. He would always go, ah, Amata. Like, ah, like, all right.
Oh, shoot.
I know. And it was so cute. Oh, my gosh. And I think one of the funniest things between the two was how, they would pick it, the senior, he would a lot of time pick on the junior and kind of make fun of him, this and that, joke around. But both of them were always there for mm-hmm. each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they always, like, whenever the other one needed support for a job yep. or this and that, they were mm-hmm. always there, always helping. And that kind of thing, which I think just made their relationship so much better because mm-hmm. it wasn't like, they weren't just comedic, they were also very serious right. characters with right. a very serious job yeah. as well.
Yeah. Okay, so, most supportive parents that goes to...
The
actor John Bae-soo, who played Woo Kwang-ho in Attorney Woo. So, first of all, he was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
He had to take care of his... I don't remember exactly... Well, I guess because she didn't talk, he took her to the doctor and found out that
yeah,
she's
he found,
autistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just... It was really hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have a lot of money to go and see all the specialists and everything. So he had to kind of just figure out on his own what to do with this child.
And he also, sorry to interrupt, but he also mentioned, like, especially when she was young, he had a hard time figuring out if she, like, loved him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she didn't show it.
And she wasn't physically affectionate at all.
Or verbally, either. Verbally. And it was just one of those things that it was very difficult for him, because he was like, you know, could any random person take care of you? And you just wouldn't care.
Right, right.
And that sort
of thing.
And
then when he found out that she was in... had memorized these things from his law books. He just poured everything into her pursuing that, which is what any parent should do when they find out their child's passion and help them to go for it. But just the way he would make her lunch for her
every day,
the exact same thing every day, and would have it ready for her. You could tell they had this system for years of how they would do things together, and he was just there for her no matter what.
It was so cool to see.
Such
oh
a
my
loving
gosh.
Parent who didn't necessarily get that in return.
Not necessarily.
Not in the same way as you would with a normal relationship.
Or a different relationship. Type of relationship. Yeah, for sure. So, best grandparent. So, they were played by Lee Dacroix, who plays Kong Da-ku, who's Kong Taemu's grandfather in Business Proposal. So, grandfather from Business Proposal. So, this dude was hilarious. Just, like, way too funny. Like, he was something that I didn't, goodness gracious, I didn't expect from his character to just be, he was just, like, no matter what he said, he was entertaining. And he, one of my favorite scenes that he was in is when he was sitting at his house in, like, his, like, robe and everything, watching these, like, total soap operas and, like, very invested in what was gonna happen and everything. And then, like, also, like, throughout the whole show, he was, like, he had great clothing.
He was the best-dressed senior citizen I've ever seen in a drama.
I loved it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
His suits weren't...
Tacky. And
tacky! Old. Exactly!
They were very nice.
They were very stylish.
I know, right? Some of his amount of money, you know? You shouldn't dress like that,
exactly,
for sure.
Yeah.
And as, like, an actual grandparent, I'm not sure how great he was.
How grandparent-y he was.
I mean, I think he was definitely supportive and stuff like that. But
in his own...
his own weird
CEO
way. Yeah, he was, you know. But I think he definitely didn't play that nasty, like, older generation who doesn't want to give up their big old company. And, like, he definitely didn't play that, though, which it was, like, very glad he did.
And the whole idea, the whole... reason for the contractual thing was because he wanted his grandson to be happy.
Yes, and wanted him to be
married
and stuff. So, yeah, oh my gosh.
All the motivation was good.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the show that we dropped the fastest, the award goes to Summer Guys. Now, I am not sure... I think we were looking for something...
oh, completely different.
Lighthearted and funny and...
fluffy. We're looking
fluffy.
We were looking for straight up
this
fluff.
This was not fluffy.
We watched the trailer. We're like, oh my gosh. This looks like a great
so
comedy.
Funny. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then we made it, what, an episode and a half?
Maybe two.
Maybe?
I think it was one and a half.
It was
weird.
It was weird. The whole vibe was weird. We weren't sure... like,
the premise was really strange, because we found out, like, you know, these dudes were here for, like, a really weird reason, like, and we didn't really know why. The one was spying on it was strange.
Yeah, we were not looking for something so dramatic and...
yeah, which, I don't think the show itself is necessarily bad, we just weren't looking for that type of show at the time.
Right.
I think we only got 1.5 episodes, which is kind of sad. A little bit. Okay, so Most disappointing ending. This fairy, unfortunately, goes to the Silent Sea.
This is a hard one to talk about without spoiling.
So we'll be a little bit vague.
Yeah.
So this was, honestly, a very good show. I definitely enjoyed this show. I think it was very well done and well portrayed.
Mm-hmm. The, and the sci-fi aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm particular about sci-fi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the what was going on, and
very interesting.
It was very interesting, and the way they portrayed being in space and being in this base, I thought was well done.
Yeah, and so a lot of what they did felt realistic to a certain extent.
Right.
The ending, our problem was that it felt very unrealistic, very movie-ish
ending.
It was very. It was extremely disappointing because we actually genuinely liked this show. For it to end with something like that, just, it was so annoying.
It was over the top dramatic.
And unrealistic.
It didn't really need to be to have a satisfying ending.
They didn't. They really, really didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just annoying.
Yeah. Okay. So the, oh, the funniest sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to Racket Boys, and you explain this.
I'll explain this
about
one.
How they break the fourth wall.
Yeah. So in Racket Boys, they have multiple sponsors, and honestly, seeing how shows do sponsors is always entertaining. Some
like, you always point it out.
Oh yeah, and
there's sponsors.
Some are. I love when shows are very self-aware of their sponsors. This is what it was with the Racket Boys. What they did is that they would completely break the fourth wall with their sponsors. Like, what they would do, I think the one, like, they were all eating chicken, like fried chicken. And the one was saying, oh, this stuff is so good, it's so crispy, this and that. And they were like, who are you talking to?
Oh, yeah,
like,
they all turned,
look straight at the camera for, like, 2 seconds, turn back. And then continue the scene, like, that did not just happen.
Right, right.
It's so entertaining. Like, they're not trying to, like, smoothly put these sponsors in.
Exactly.
Like, this and that. They were very purposeful. And it just made it another aspect of a comedy of this show. And it was...
Yeah, rather, I agree with you. I like how shows can show you a sponsor without it looking like a commercial.
Yeah. But when shows do it purposefully, it's so good. Like in, what you call it, Gumiho, they have this very specific coffee thing, and every time they show it's like a full-on commercial.
Yeah, the backlit with the sunshine.
And the sparklies. Well, with that one, it's so purposeful.
Yeah.
It's hysterical. Yeah. I love when shows do it purposely. So... made us cry the most was 39. This might have been the only show this year I legitimately cried at. I'm not a crier. You're a crier.
I'm a crier.
I
cried when I watched Alice in Borderland.
I don't understand. Wait, where? You'll have to tell me afterwards. I don't understand. Why would you cry at that?
I'll tell you.
Oh, I know where, I know exactly. Sorry. I just hit episode like 3 or 4. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
But this was
intense.
So, and you know, we knew. We knew.
That was so impressive.
Everybody knows. This is not a spoiler to say the woman with cancer
dies.
Is gonna die at the end of the show. But we knew that, so... why would you get emotional about it? It's not a surprise.
That's what made it so emotional and so good, was that even though you knew how this was going to end, seeing how these characters dealt with this and how they reacted to it especially and everything with that was just so impressive.
Yeah.
And with the final episode, I remember it would just be like, okay, it got emotional, but we're good now. Then it got really emotional. Like, okay. And then we just
break out
kept,
a box of tissues.
We just kept losing it.
Yeah.
Like, and then
I think the funniest thing was that after we watched it, we were trying to pull ourselves together here and like
chat about it a little bit.
Yeah, we always do that when we finish dramas. Typically, we'll talk about it. And we, like, looked at each other, we're like, oh, you know, that one scene was so good.
And we couldn't do it.
So we literally multiple times tried to talk about it and were too emotional. Yeah. We had, like, to wait till the next day to say anything.
Yeah.
It was, I highly recommend this show.
Oh, absolutely. It's so well acted.
It's amazing.
And so well written.
Yeah. It really is. Like, and I feel like it's a lot coming from me as well. Like, I don't cry at shows. Mm-hmm. I might get emotional, but I do not cry. I was, like, choked up at this show. It was bad. Okay.
Okay. So, for the unskippable intro we gave to Team Bulldog. Now, intros to shows...
Very few have an intro,
very actually. Few have an intro that is worth watching. And a lot of them have an intro that gives spoilers to the show.
I hate when they do that.
Shows scenes that are going to happen in the show.
Yeah, but I do know multiple shows that have an animated intro, and usually those don't give spoilers.
Usually those don't. Yeah. But this one was especially good. It was short.
Very
sweet,
short.
And to the point.
Yeah.
But it packed a lot in. Mm. It introduced you to each one of the main characters. Mm-hmm. And the way it...
Like, transition?
Transition into the next one.
Oh, so cool. It was, like, very James Bond-esque.
James Bond.
That's what we were going for.
Yes.
And it was... We literally never skipped it.
We never did.
We never skipped it. We always watched it and always were like, this is a solid intro.
Yeah.
Every time, man. Yeah. It was just... It was so fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... For supporting character Asian, now, why we decided to split... This sounds very strange. We decided to split our categories into two, supporting and actor of the year, into Korean and basically non-Korean. So all the other languages and everything that we had watched.
Mm-hmm.
Is because a tiny bit more than half, I think, of our shows were Korean.
Right.
So... For us,
it wouldn't be fair to compete.
Yeah, it made more sense in our head.
Yeah.
Okay, so the supporting, it's actually characters, there's two, was from Put Your Head on My Shoulder. It was Ken and Tom, played by, I don't know how to say their names.
Lot and New,
which I think is their nicknames, by the way.
Because we can't pronounce.
This was
their 12 character names.
It's translated English, yeah. This was what? Taiwanese? Am I correct?
Thai?
Wait.
This was Thai.
Thai, sorry.
Yeah.
So these two were very much side characters of this show. Like, they were not the mains at all. And they were, like, really funny, though. Like, just how they would, like, chat amongst themselves.
I enjoyed every time they came on screen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And they came as a set as well. And I love how, like, they were really, really funny. They were definitely there for comedic relief.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to see that they were, like...
But they weren't stupid.
No, they were, like, genuinely good people.
Yeah.
And they were, like, helpful. They, like, helped out with his research.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest thing was that this is set in college.
Yeah.
And they made a group chat with the one professor to try and get these two other students to date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember what they titled the group chat.
I wish I remembered.
But it was something like, you know...
Like mission or something. Yeah.
So, mission love or something.
They were just very enjoyable. You know, sometimes characters that are definitely there for somewhat of comedic relief can sometimes be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still, like, good characters, but they just so happen to be funny.
Yeah.
You know? Totally. Yeah. One of those.
Very enjoyable.
Okay. Yes. Good thing you're giving this award. This is the one.
Okay. So, the best Asian actor... Mm-hmm. Non-Korean,
yeah.
Goes to Kento Yamazaki for Alice in Borderland.
Yes.
Now, his acting is just superb. The emotions that
facial.
He expresses on his face are amazing.
You've seen him in other stuff as well, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
A little bit.
And some of them, what's interesting is some of them, in contrast, were these sweet, innocent, also based on manga. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this, I totally believed that he was that character.
Yeah, he is this character. Yeah, for sure.
His acting.
So good.
So
yeah.
Good. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have
anything
to add.
There's not a whole lot to say except that he totally commits.
Oh, commit
to his character. He becomes that character.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Definitely. So, Asian Actress of the Year. I'll try my very best to pronounce this. I'm so sorry. Zhao Jin
Mai,
who played Li Shi King in Reset, who is the female lead of Reset.
Right.
So, one of the things we mentioned earlier with this show is that I think it was the biggest thing that I liked about her acting was how she portrayed the different emotions in this mm-hmm. show. Like, you know, she was trying to figure this thing out, solve this problem, but she didn't want to die either. And you know, in this show, it's someone with a time loop and how, you know, after so many times, you just feel like you want to give up or mm-hmm. they got overwhelmed. And how they would portray that was so both of them were amazing in it. And it was the first time I'd seen her in anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see her in some other roles as well.
But you kind of see this build up mm-hmm. of emotions in her. Because, you know, sure. At first, it's just her.
Yeah.
And then the stakes sort of
get higher.
And
oh, for sure.
You can see that in her mm-hmm. acting.
Yeah, and how she's, and, you know, her character is very committed to trying to help other people, mm-hmm. not just herself. And right. She just was so convincing that she was, mm-hmm. like, she was like that. It was very impressive. So, supporting character Korean. Oh, sorry. I just stole your show. I'm so sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Supporting character Korean show goes to Kang Ki-young, who plays Jung Myung-suk in Attorney Woo. So this,
he's the senior lawyer.
Right. Kind of her mentor.
Yeah, like the mentor for multiple of them. Yeah.
We just love this actor.
He's so good.
We both agree that we want to see him.
Where's his
in
lead,
a
role?
Lead role?
I need to see his lead
Why
role.
Why doesn't he ever get a lead role?
He's an amazing supporting.
He is.
Amazing.
He is. Yeah.
But dude, I wanted to see him in her lead role. Right. But like, oh my gosh.
But every single show we've ever seen him in as
we
a supporting actor. We've loved his character. Mm-hmm. We've loved his acting. And he just kind of steps into these roles and becomes that character. I mean, yes, every actor is supposed to do that.
Yes.
But there are mm-hmm. some actors that do that
better
than other mm-hmm. actors, mm-hmm. and he's one of those actors,
yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, I just loved his character, but also I think how he portrayed, like, specific stuff, because, like, his perspective at the beginning of the show, it changed very
yes.
quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And how he interacted with the other people, and it was just very impressive. Mm-hmm. I really liked his character. I remember at first thinking I'd hate his character because of how they first introduced him, but then he changes, and it's so interesting. He's very interesting.
His character was one that wasn't entrenched in an idea.
Mm.
He was willing to flex
change.
And change his opinion.
For sure. So, I loved him.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
So, upcoming actors and actresses. This is, again, we make our own rules.
Wow, you wrote a lot of names
I'm not going to read them all out, I decided. but we decided to award it to the entire cast of Racket Boys. This includes literally everybody.
All the teens.
Guys,
well, they're not actually...
Only two or three of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But the entire cast of Racket Boys. I'm not going to list them all out because there's no point. But all of these people, I am very much looking forward to watching what they're going to be in next.
Yeah.
I know the one was in All of Us Are Dead.
Yeah.
We're not going to watch that. We're not zombie people, but that sounds weird. but all of their acting was so impressive. They felt so genuine, and they were so fun. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was like a joy to watch, you know. It was so much fun. And they're what made the show.
Oh, yeah.
100% Absolutely. Was how they interacted with each other and their friendship and how they were able to portray that so realistically just mm-hmm. made the show.
And what's really cool is some of them aren't that far out of their teens.
That was very purposeful. That was an amazing job of casting. They did.
Thank you. Thank you for casting people who look convincingly like they're actually teenagers.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. Yes. Okay. So, the Korean Actor of the Year. The award goes to Junho, who played
Yi-san in Red Sleeve.
Yi-san. Sorry. In Red Sleeve. Okay, so I don't remember. Did we know that he was a K-pop star before we started watching?
I think we, did, but, didn't quite connect that. I think we knew he might have been a K-pop star, but we didn't know it was 2 p.m. specifically.
Okay. So, often, if you watch a K-pop star in a drama, it's not that they're not a good actor. It's that, oh, okay, so they were a K-pop star first, and now they're an actor. And
Not everybody.
Some. I would have pegged him as an actor first and foremost. His portrayal of his character was amazing.
It was so impressive. Just how he especially was able to show so many different emotions. But in a lot of time, they had to be in this very subtle way.
Right,
because of the type of character and the context of what he was in. It was just...
Yeah. Just so slight, just the way he moved his eyes or... Because he couldn't show a lot on his face. It was his eyes. Ugh. It communicated so much.
But it was so impressive. I can't think of anybody else. No one else could have done that role. You know? It was his role. Yeah. And I think they cast him amazingly for that. So good. So, Korean Actress of the Year goes to Park Eun-bin, who played Woo Young-woo in Attorney Woo. Mm-hmm. So, surprise. Not very... you probably heard so many people talk about it.
Yeah.
But her portrayal of a person with autism, to someone who doesn't really know autistic people personally, mm-hmm. take it with a grain of salt, was very convincing to me. Mm-hmm. But I think how you put it, it was very sensitive.
Yeah.
As in, sensitive in the way that she didn't, I don't think she ever exaggerated it or overdid it or anything like that. She kept it very realistic. Mm-hmm. And it's very obvious she also, did her research for this role. And it is not something that happened overnight.
Right.
She put a lot... I mean, every actor puts a lot of work in. Yeah. But I feel like to portray this type of character, who's very different from probably anything she'd done before, just took a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And it was very impressive. And she was very enjoyable to watch. You really were able to get to know her and see how... she reacted to stuff. It was very impressive.
And she never disengaged.
She never broke character, ever. Oh, no.
Yeah. It was... even in scenes where she was not talking, she was in the scene, but other people were talking, if you watched her, she maintained that, with the tics and it just...
It was perfect. It was so, all around was so well done. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, and I even watched a video of a person with autism talking about her and how, yes, being someone like her is rare.
Extremely.
Yeah. Brilliant, but the things that she does...
in her just day-to-day life.
Her day-to-day life, it was very accurate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. So you get this is our final one. The big award, I guess.
The big award, I get to say. So,
oh my word.
The best couple of the year goes to Son Ye-jin and Jun Woo-jin, who played Cha Mi-jo and Kim Sun-woo in 39. Their relationship
had an interesting start, put it that way.
It did.
Without spoiling anything.
But they... It moved at a normal human pace.
Majority, other than the start.
Other than the start. The start was just...
kind of weird.
Unusual.
Yeah.
But then when they got to know each other as people, they got to know each other as people, not like... Of course, there was the romantic element to it all the time, but he was just so sweet and supportive. And... You could see how he would break down her walls.
Her walls.
Mm-hmm. And their relationship was, this is going to sound so cheesy.
Nope, go ahead.
Was like this flower. It slowly bloomed.
That's really accurate, but, for sure. Yeah. And especially because they specifically actually dated for about half the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what made, you had the time to really develop it, which a lot of shows you don't get to see, that's okay. Yeah. I understand. But to be able to see that and see it develop and see how they're really there for each other in the end.
And how do adults... date.
Yeah.
Because a lot of dating that you see in shows are high schoolers or college age. Or like 20s. Or young.
And they're like, you know.
They're 39.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're adults.
Exactly.
With careers.
Yes.
And with friends.
Yes.
Established lives.
Yeah. And that's something that I feel like you don't get to see as often are people their age. Mm-hmm. And also, like you said, they have established careers and everything. Yep. How they date. Is different than what you would in high school, for sure. And it just felt very realistic to me.
And healthy.
From a 17-year-old, it felt very
so healthy.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was very impressive. Mm-hmm. And just so enjoyable to watch them. Like, then just, like, hanging out, having a good time. That's,
like, normal people things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like... They didn't go on all these extravagant dates and this and that. They just, like, hung out and played video games.
Right.
Or went on a walk after work. And, like, it was just the little things. It was so fun.
The things that people who have
busy careers and lives,
that's all they can do.
Yeah.
They can't go to the amusement park.
That got rented out, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? Yeah. But it's just that sort of thing that, like... Just did it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So their relationship was the best.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is our final award. And, you know, this was something that, obviously, like I said, it's our first time we did this. So sorry if it was, like, a little weird or hard to follow. Hopefully it wasn't.
Hopefully not. We not tried, with your graphics.
Yeah.
Everybody send positive comments on Annika's amazing graphics that she took all this time to do.
Yeah, I'm not done. As of recording this, I have to go back and change.
She's almost done.
I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
So most likely, unfortunately, this will not go up today. But well, I'll try and get it up. Hopefully,
it would
by
if
Monday.
You didn't have to go to work.
Yeah, if I didn't have to go to work, I would. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be exciting next year of us podcasting. I mean, I think our goal is to do it for this next year, at least, like, for sure.
As long as you don't go away.
I wouldn't this year, though. That'd be the following year that I would, I think.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I would. Pretty sure. I might. It depends.
It depends. Okay.
Yeah, so most likely we will do this podcast, at least for majority of this year, if not the whole year. And it's been very fun. And this is something that is just, it's still just a hobby to us. It's a weird hobby. but it's, you know, it's something that's been very different. And it has taken up a lot of time, especially for me.
Yeah.
But it's something that it has challenged me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I've learned skills that I didn't think I was ever going to be able to learn and that kind of thing. So, yeah, so here's to a good 2023. Mm-hmm. That's so weird to say. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
It's 2023 now.
I'm going to mess up writing it down, you know. It's for sure. But we hope you guys have a good year. Yep. And we also hope that you enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you all next time.